Blog Talk Radio.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass. Yeah, it's pretty clear, I ain't no size two, but I can shake it, like I'm supposed to do. Cause I got that boom, boom, that all the boys chase, and all the right junk, and all the right places. I see the magazine working out Photoshop. We know that shit ain't real. Come on, now make it stop. If you got beauty, beauty, just raise them up. Cause every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me don't worry about your size. She says boys like a little more booty to hold a knife. And no, I won't be no six figure silicone Barbie doll. So if that's what you're into, then go ahead and move along. Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass. Hey, I'm bringing booty back. Go ahead and tell them skinny bitches that. No, I'm just playing. I know y'all think you're fat, but I'm here to tell you every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top.
Hey, barbecue superstars, this is Jennifer, hot off the grill. I'm just going to do a little chit-chat tonight with Dana Hillis. Dana, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
How are you doing tonight?
I couldn't be doing much better. Down here in South Florida, it's about 70 degrees outside. It's beautiful.
Oh, really? That must be nice. I'm sitting in front of a heater. It's cold here.
Where are you at,
already?
Jennifer?
I'm in Lubbock, Texas.
Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah, actually.
Well, it's a pleasure
right
to talk to you. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So tell us, first of all, you were on a pretty popular show, and you did really well, from what I understand. I didn't get to do a whole lot of research on you because I wasn't your Facebook friend, and so I couldn't see a whole bunch. And so you're going to kind of have to guide me tonight because I should have planned sooner, but I didn't. I'm kind of behind this week. So what was the show called that you were on?
We were on the Food Network's Food Truck Face-Off. It's a brand-new show. They're doing a 13-week series, and we happen to be on week number 3. It's a very, very fun show to be involved with. It's another take on the food truck battle kind of thing. They had several people apply. You went and interviewed, and you went and you cooked off, and you provided food for all these different. And they narrowed it down to 12 teams, and from the 12 teams, it got narrowed down to 4 teams. And on television, the 4 teams had to present their concept food recipes for what they thought would be a winning combination to go on a food truck, and what you thought
okay.
you could cook and sell on a food truck. And that's what we did.
And so how long have you had a food truck?
This is for people that never owned a food truck that wanted to win one.
Oh,
so, you know,
okay.
We've catered and we've barbecued and, you know, we've been big in the barbecue circuit for 8 years and we have vended, but we never cooked on a food truck and served out the window. So my wife and I decided that's something we'd like to try to do. And we sent our stuff in for it and we got picked for it and we went up to Canada and presented to the judges. And the show's fun to watch. It's a little different concept than some of the other things that are out there. You got 4 teams that are battling to see who's the final two. All four teams present their stuff to a panel of judges. The panel of judges picks out two winners. The two winners have a two-day battle of selling food out of a food truck that they make for you. And whoever sells the most food in 2 days wins the food truck. And we got lucky enough, we won.
So now you have a food truck. So
we do. we've just got it. We were supposed to have it a few weeks ago, and it just pulled into the driveway. With our schedule and some things that were going on, we were at the Jack, and then we were at Laughlin, and now we're home for a few more days, and then we go back to Vegas. So taking delivery of the truck had to fit into our schedule and all, and it's just now all coming together. So we haven't sold any food out of the food truck yet, but we're chomping at the bit to get ready.
So where are you going to sell? Just around your town or?
We have big plans for it. We do a lot of cooking in Florida. We live in Naples, which is far away from anything in the country. It's far away from anything in Naples. So if a 2 or 3 hour radius is where the competitions we do in that area that we vend food, we want to take the truck to. We're going to get involved in some food truck competitions. We're going to get involved in, there's a food truck show that we're going to go with a bunch of other trucks and show off our truck and compete in selling food and all kinds of cool stuff. We do a lot of farmers markets here at home, and that's our goal, to 4 or 5 days a week have it busy at farmers markets. We've got some private parties. There's a big world in the food truck thing. If you chase it hard and make the right connections, you can stay pretty busy with it. I've got an 18-year-old son that is a 3-year high school culinary student that has cooked with me at barbecues, and he helps us with our vending, and he helps us at our farmers markets. And our goal is for him to be the number one food truck guy in the whole state of Florida.
There you go. So did y'all get to design the food truck yourself, or do they just give you one and say this is what you get?
As a matter of fact, we got to go meet with the food truck manufacturer and, give him an idea. They gave us one for the show that was pretty much you had to deal with what they gave you. And it was pretty interesting. And basically, inside a food truck, there's only so much stuff you can fit. You get a flat top griddle, some deep fryers, and a burner. We installed a FEC 100 in ours, so we can still cook ribs and pork butts. And, you can't pull up at a site and cook a pork butt, but you can have it cooked when you get there and, have it in the oven. And we're able to drive down the road with the FE working, and it's all going to be really cool. We're real excited about it. It's kind of a new frontier for us, and we're hoping to make a living at it.
What is an FB?
I'm not familiar with that. FEC 100 is a Fast Eddie Cook Shack pellet cooker.
Oh, okay.
It's cooks 100 pounds of meat at one time. It's real popular on the barbecue circuit. It's made by Cook Shack, which is out there towards you. It's in Ponca City, Oklahoma. They make all different kinds of competition cookers and restaurant style cookers. And I've been competing on
FE. Is that what you cook on when you go to competitions?
Yeah, it's one of the cookers. In my competition career, I've cooked on several different cookers, but I always go back to the Fast Eddie. I always have a Fast Eddie on my trailer. But I've been lucky enough. I teach barbecue classes here at home, and I've had a lot of teams come in to take my class, and I try to teach the fact that it's not the cooker, it's the cook. We have won grand champions on stumps. We have won grand champions on Jambo. We have won grand champions on Fast Eddies. We've actually won grand champions cooking on Weber's. We've won grand champions cooking on a little cooker called an Orion. We've actually won cooking on my newest cooker I have now that I'm addicted to is a Metal Creek BX50. And we've had it for about 6 or 7 competitions, and we've already won 2 grands and 2 reserves with it. So I try to teach, it doesn't matter what you got to cook on, as long as you can learn how to cook on it and put out, decent, tender food with a good flavor that's not offensive to the judges, you have a chance to win.
Right. How many competitions did you go to last year?
Last year, I think I hit 28.
27
or 28.
I can't believe how many competitions people are able to go to. It blows my mind. because, you know, my husband, we cook here, but there's just not as many here. And I think it's, you know, probably the weather is probably a factor, because it does get really cold and then it gets really hot, you know, and y'all stay warm pretty much throughout the year.
Yeah, we're hot. We're really hot 6 months out of the year. The rest of the year is very, you know, very doable. Here in Florida, we have, in the Florida Barbecue Association, we probably have 37 or 38 contests on the schedule for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to live in Central Florida, you can go on a 200-mile radius and you can hit 25, 30 contests in that radius. So the state of Florida is user-friendly for teams. For us, it's not quite as friendly because we ended up moving to about as far south as you can get without going over to Miami and the Keys. We're in Naples, which is, you know, the southwest part of the state. For us to go to Venice, which is, you know, north of us a little ways, it's, you know, near a 100-mile trip just to get there. But we have, we're addicted to barbecue. We drove to Hobbs, New Mexico. We try to do one long-range contest a year, and Hobbs happened to be the one. So we drove out there with our new trailer and help support. It was an FBA contest in New Mexico. And
mm-hmm.
Mark Bateman. Oh, my God, what a gentleman. What a great guy. He's part of the family forever. He put on a great contest. We went out there, and we're lucky enough that we won Reserve Grand Champion and won enough money to make it worth our trip out there. And the hospitality and the people and the teams we met, and my father-in-law went with us and got to see things. He'd never been out that way, so... taking the trip and meeting the folks we got to meet out there and the fun time we had. In the FBA, we have a tradition. If you win Grand Champion, you buy some pizzas and invite everybody else that's sitting around on Saturday night to come have pizza with you. And it's became a big tradition down here. In fact, we even have convinced some people there's a jinx that if you don't buy pizza, you won't win again for a long time. And there's a guy or two that kind of ran out without buying pizza, and it was a long time before they won again. So they're believers now that you have to buy a pizza if you win Grand Champion. Well, we did the Grand Champion thing. Sweet Smoke Q, Jim Elser, very good friend of mine here in Florida, very good team, up-and-coming guy. They've been winning everywhere they go. He happened to win Grand out there, and he bought pizzas. And we had a crowd of Texans and Oklahoma boys and all hanging out with us, drinking pink drinks and eating pizza, and it was one of the best times I ever had.
Yeah, he was on my show a couple weeks ago, and we talked about the pink drink. He gave me the recipe. He said, I'll do it just because it's you. I usually don't give away the recipe. But anyway, so he said, when you drink one, you have to post it on Facebook and send me a picture, and I did. And the only, because he said, you have to get in a clear glass. Well, I don't have clear glasses in my home. I have three little children and they will break them. So the only one I could find was a mason jar that's like on a candlestick. It's a redneck wine glass, and I put it in there. And so it was pretty fun. But yeah, he is a good guy. I was actually supposed to be at that contest, and my grandma got put in the hospital, and it was just one thing after another that week. And I seriously, like, was crying Friday night going, oh, my God, I want to be there. I was so upset. I was so excited about going and meeting all of y'all because I hear about y'all. But, you know, when you live in Florida and I live in Texas, it's kind of hard to get together sometimes. So, anyways, but
well,
we
all
have,
you have to do, all you have to do is decide you want to come to Florida sometime, call ahead. And I swear to God, I've been all over the country cooking, met tons of people, but it's hard to beat the group that's down here, and they look out for each other. If you want to come to a contest, there'd be 15 teams trying to help you. They'll loan you cookers, they'll set you up, and do anything in the world. This group down here is just a decent bunch of people. They all look out for each other, and it's a family reunion every weekend. I know it's that way in the barbecue world, but there's something special about this group down here that it's hard to beat. They're good people. And there's a lot of them, and we have a lot of fun. You know how it is. You go cook a barbecue competition, you're hooked. When we went to the Hobbs, New Mexico contest, the people I got to meet there made it worth the trip out there. We had an absolute ball. I had one of the best times I ever had.
Yeah. Mark Bateman came to my contest, Breast Fest, which is about a month before his, and I've been to, I guess, one other contest with him, and I really like him. And, you know, there's we have a great group around here too, you know, Junior Reyes and Lance Moore and all those guys. We have a blast.
I hung out with Lance and I met Junior, and it made the trip worthwhile because these are guys I heard of before, and we met so many other people. I wish I could remember all the names.
Matthew Alexander.
Matthew,
he's a really nice guy. He's a good friend of mine.
Ruben, you know Ruben Rentera?
Gordo. Absolutely.
Gordo?
Yes.
Oh,
love
my
him.
God. That was a great bunch. Everybody I met out there were so friendly and so nice, and the emails and the Facebooks and the posts and everybody afterward about what a great time we all had. I can't wait till next year. We're coming out there again.
Well, you need to come to Breastfest too. You might have to take two trips this direction.
Send me all the information.
Let's see, Hobbs is about 2 hours from where my contest is. It's at Buffalo Springs Lake, which I always say that for you Florida boys, it's probably more of a river. It's not really a lake because it's so tiny. But we don't have any lakes around this part. Literally, the one good lake that we have is about an hour and a half from my house. And so we don't get to go and, you know, just sit on the water like y'all do all the time. You got to actually take a haul somewhere to go. But anyways, so tell me about your – you have a line of – rubs and injections and all that, right?
I don't have injections, but I do have rubs and sauces. I've got 7 different sauces and I've got 4 different rubs, and they're available on my website, which is bigpapascountrykitchen.com. We sell a lot of rubs and sauces around the country. My wife's almost got a full-time job putting mail orders out for what we send out.
That's awesome. And so what kind of – do you have certain ones? Do you have like a brisket rub and a chicken rub and all that? Or
we have an all-purpose rub that is for our ribs and chicken. And we sell a lot of it. People like to use – we cook a lot of fish down here in Florida, and a lot of people are using it on fish. It seems to work real well. It's our rib rub. When we started this thing 7-8 years ago, not long after we got started, we got into a restaurant in Daytona Beach with some partners, and the partnership thing didn't work out, so we weren't there but 8 or 9 months. But we came back to Naples where we lived before, and we were lucky enough, we met a gal named Bonnie Meyer that owns a company called Additional Flavor out of Holly Hill, Florida. She just burst into my kitchen and said, "I'm here to make your ribs for you," and by God, she's been making them for about 7 years. And came up with our recipe, sent it to her. She made them. We won grand champion. We won first place categories with ribs and chicken and pork. And so it was an easy blend into what we were doing because she made it for us. We put it on our food and we won with it. And we've been using the same stuff ever since.
Wow. So it's been working for a while, huh?
Yeah, it's been working for a while. And while we were in Hobbs, we got a perfect score on pork. And in the FBA, perfect scores are hard to come by. There's only been about 6 or 7 in 14 years. And we happened to win that there, and it's probably one of our proudest moments in barbecue. And just using our same sauce and our same rub, and they happen to like it out there. We've done very well in pork. We've done very well in ribs. At one time, we couldn't be beating chicken, and that roller coaster ride came to an end. So we're struggling on the chicken thing, but we won first place chicken while we were in Hobbs, too. So. And
that's
we have
awesome.
A brisket rub. Yeah, we have a brisket rub, a pork rub, and we got, like I say, 6 or 7 different kinds of sauce. So.
Right. Yeah, Daryl told me something about hot sauce. You have hot sauce too, is that right?
We have a hot sauce called Logan's Run Hot. And it was a very dear friend of mine by the name of Cullen Logan, who's a judge down here in Florida, has become a close personal friend of mine over the years. He was struggling with some health issues, and we was a little worried about him. He had some pretty serious issues going on, and he called me up, and he says, "I want to give you my sauce recipe," and he drove down, and I know he wasn't feeling well. Plus, he's already spent his time down here, taught me how to cook it, gave me the recipe, then he went home and got well, and I talked to him all the time, and he's proud he gave me his recipe, and we're selling a lot of it. It's a very good It's a hot sauce that's made with habanero that's not real. It's hot. People that like hot love it. People that don't like hot think it's too hot, but it's got a great flavor to it. It's not just a burning pepper flavor. It's got a great flavor to it, and it's the sauce is done real well. We have it took off, and we've sold a lot of it, and we're really proud of it, and we thank him. His name's Colin Logan, so we call it Logan's Run, and it's available on our website. It's a real good sauce.
Good. How did you do at the Jack?
We got a call in ribs. We were like 20th in pork. We were like 30-something in brisket, but we landed on the killer table in chicken, and six of us on that table in chicken, nobody was better than 65th place. And that kind of took us down to the middle of the pack. We thought we had an excellent cook. We had a great time. We won our table in sauce and didn't score real well. We had probably one of the best times I could ever have at a barbecue contest. Our results didn't show. We were like middle of the road. But the Jack is just, it's a classic. If you get to go there, man, it's one you won't forget. It's the second time we've been there. I grew up 40 miles from there, and this trip we got to see probably 25 or 30 cousins and friends that I hadn't seen, some of them in 15, 20, 25 years. So it was like a homecoming, and we had an absolute great time. And if you ever get to go to the Jack, make sure you go and enjoy every minute. It's a good time.
Yeah, I've heard that. But I think, I mean, my personal opinion is if you get a call at all, while you're there, you're doing something right because you're competing against the best of the best, really. I mean,
everybody there is a grand champion from somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So you're, yeah, if you get a call at all, then count your lucky stars, you know. So what are y'all doing in Nevada? I keep seeing you and Jim and Rub and, well, no, maybe I didn't see it on Rub's page, but a bunch of people. What's the four people doing in Vegas?
Laughlin, Nevada, Smoke on the Water Productions, Ronnie Cates and Smoke on the Water, has a USA barbecue championship out there every year. And it's hosted by Riverside, Don Laughlin's Riverside Casino. It's held in the parking lot. They give away a $50,000 pickup truck plus another $50,000 in cash and prizes. And it's an awesome contest. Me, Jim, Hot Wachulas, Whiskey Bent. I think that was all the Florida boys that went out. And it's well worth competing. It's a lot of fun. You're at the casinos. You're hanging out. You know, you come into Vegas, hang out there for a night, go to Laughlin, hang out there for a couple nights. It's just a riot. And Ronnie Cates gives away a lot of money at his contest. We took seventh place overall and came home with a pocket full of money. We were tickled to death and happy. We had a chance to win a pickup truck. We ended up seventh. We missed grand by, you know, just a few points. A little luck on a little better score on a chicken or a brisket, and we'd have been driving a truck home from Laughlin. Now we all come home. Jim's still out there because he's working out there, and his brother lives there. But we all come home for a week, and then we go back for the World Food Championships in Las Vegas. Being hosted at the D. This will be the fourth year that it's been in Vegas, and we've been there all 4 years. You have to win a contest that is a World Food Championship qualifier, and then you're invited to go. And it's a very unique contest. They only cook three categories plus some ancillary. They cook they don't cook chicken, but they cook ribs, pork, and brisket. And if you place in the top 10, you move into another round where you compete against the winners of sandwiches, hamburgers, chili, recipes, desserts, and it's a riot. It's a lot of fun. Go on their website, worldfoodchampionships.com, and check them out. It's hosted in Vegas. You get to go live the lifestyle of Vegas for 3-4 days, cook a contest, and we've always done extremely well there. We've been lucky, lucky, lucky. I mean, anytime you win at a barbecue contest, luck has to fall your way. And for some reason in Vegas, it always has. We come home with some nice awards to hang on the wall.
Is it a certain sanctioning body, or is it just its own contest?
It's its own contest. It is sanctioned by KCBS rules, but there is no chicken. It's not a jet qualifier. It's its own contest, and it's very unique. The first year we went out, you had ribs, pork, brisket, and sauce. The next year we went out, you just cooked three categories, but you had some ancillaries. Last year, they took the top 10 and went to the finals, and they had a final round, and you did anything but just for the final round, and that was quite interesting. And then the winner of that moved on to the finals against all the other categories. There's 500-some different teams out there competing, and the winner gets $50,000.
Oh, wow. They don't split it up. It's just one prize of $50,000?
One prize, $50,000 for the champion of all the seven categories. But you can win, I think, the barbecue category. We won reserve grand champion out there the first year, and we came home with well over $10,000. So, I mean, it was exciting and fun. And last year we won best pork in the world, and that paid a big chunk of money. I don't know. We've always been lucky in Vegas, and it's quite the adventure. It was on Fremont Street last year, so we had a lot of guests that were homeless, and it was interesting to see security and homeless people running all over the place. And this year they've moved it into a secure area, so it's going to be a little different.
Right. Well, that's interesting. So did you do, you did okay last year. You did pretty good. I guess winning $10,000, you must have done something, right?
Yeah, we did. We did well last year. We didn't make it to the finals, but we were 13th overall. But we won best pork in the world, which paid pretty well. The year before, we were third overall. The year before that, we were reserve grand champion. We just, for some reason, we get lucky in Vegas. I just hope it holds true for one more week because we go back out Wednesday.
Well, maybe you should buy some pizza ahead of time or something. I told Jim when he was on my show that he should start serving pink drinks to all the cooks except for himself the night before because they hit you pretty fast. So,
I think he's tried that and it just hadn't worked for him.
So where are you sitting right now in the Florida? Are you in second place? Is that what I heard? I think I heard second place.
I've missed two or three contests, but I'm second or third, or I don't know. I haven't even looked. We've been so busy. I always want to do well in our home sanctioning body. But this year we're not going to hit near as many contests. And we won Team of the Year a couple of years. And the effort and time it takes to win that is you got to dedicate yourself to it. You got to make a lot of contests, and you got to do well. You don't just show up; you got to do well. And
right.
The issue we have down here in Florida is every week you show up, you're competing against some of the best teams in the country. When you show up at a contest, I don't care where you go in this country, if you show up at a contest and you're cooking against Swamp Boys, Sweet Smoke Q, Blitzkrieg Barbecue, Hot Wachulas, and Big Papa's Country Kitchen, Team Unknown, the list goes on and on. There's, we have 20 winners every year out of a 30, 35 team contest. So that means there's a lot of teams that show up to have a good chance to win. Swamp Boys has put out cooking schools. Jim with Sweet Smokes put out cooking schools. I've had several cooking schools. And the guys that are taking these classes are being taught a lot of good things, and they can go compete anywhere.
Right.
Usually when we go, some of the guys show up out west, or, we went to the Hobbs New Mexico thing, and four Florida teams were in the top 10.
Yeah, I saw that.
Competition's tough. Swamp Boys can win anywhere he goes. He's been cooking a long time. He knows as much about competition barbecue as anybody out there. And, that's who we face every week when we go compete. So it's hard to win down here.
Yeah, I would say so. And that's like with Texas. I mean, we've got good cooks here. We've got amazing cooks here. But it's such a humongous state, and you're spread out all over. I mean, if you want to drive from one end of Texas to the other end, it's going to take you, a long time. I mean, we drove to Houston, and it took us 10 hours,
And you don't run in out there. You don't run into the same 15, 20 phenomenal cooks every weekend. At least you split it up some because they can't can't travel as far.
Right, right. And that's why I was, you know, when I have my competition, my breakfast, you know, it meant so much to me because I had people like Robert Sierra. He drove so far. And then, you know, I have a guy from Houston who comes every year. His niece lives here, so he comes to see her, and he uses all her grill and whatever, but he comes every year because his wife died of breast cancer, and so he comes to support us, and he gets the farthest traveled every year. We're just like, okay, Mr. Nelson, we know it's going to be you again, so here you go. You know, I mean, but it's amazing, you know, that we have so many people that back us up and traveled that far. But have you ever cooked IBCA? Have you ever cooked in an IBCA contest?
No, I have not.
See, that's what mine is sanctioned through IBCA, just because one thing is, like, Ronnie Wade is the leader right now, and he's been the leader for years, but he goes to a ton of, I mean, IBCA is more popular, I guess. It's the number one in Texas, I would say. And so and they kind of have, you know, that he goes to all of them, and he can go anywhere in Texas and find one any weekend of the year. But that's what mine is. The rules are not that much different. The score, I would say the scoring is, the judging is. We don't have a class that you take, and we don't have certain people. We get the Marines and the Navy and groups of people to come and judge. We also just let the general public. You don't have to take a class. You just tell them, you know, this is what you're looking for. But I'm actually in the training to be an IBCA head judge. And so it's not too terribly different. I mean, it is, but it's not. You don't, I don't know, in the FBA, do you garnish your trays?
Say that one more time.
Do you garnish your trays in FBA?
No, we do not in the FBA. It's meat only.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's what IBCA is the same way. You don't garnish your trays. That's why everybody thought it was so crazy that Mark did Florida, because he's so close to Texas. You know, everybody just thought IBCA. But when he explained why, it makes perfectly good sense on why he did it. But it's because you don't, in IBCA, you don't get a scorecard when you leave. So you don't really know why. I mean, if you did bad, you don't know why. If you did good, you don't know why. You just, you know, it's kind of up in the air. You don't get a scorecard when you leave. So that kind of sucks. But at the same time, I've said this 100 times in a row, that you can go and take the exact same meme and cut it in half and take half of it to one contest and half of it to another contest, and you can win one and come to last of the other one, because it's all up to the judges. I mean, it's how they taste, and everybody tastes differently, and everybody likes different things. So you just really never know. But anyway, so it's similar to to FBA as far as the way you turn it in and stuff like that. Like on pork, do y'all do the money muscle and all that, or is it just pulled, or what's the rules on pork?
Any piece or portion or chop or muscles or slices or anything you want to do, as long as if it's off of a pork shoulder or a pork butt.
And do y'all do baby back or pork spare ribs?
Whichever you think will win. It's when I first started, I was winning with baby backs pretty consistent, and all of a sudden they quit winning, and I tried spare ribs and started winning consistent there. And what I did over the years, when I go to the same contest, if I won with baby backs the year before, I'd cook baby backs again the next year. And I kind of cook mostly spares, but I still have a few times I cook baby backs in and seem to do well. But you
right.
pretty much have an option to do whatever you want. Just the meat has to be on the bone. You can't do boneless ribs.
Right, yeah, see, and ours is just pork spare ribs. And then at our contest, it's different with IBCA doesn't really tell you how to do pork, but with ours, we just did pulled. Just pull it. It can't be chopped or sliced. It has to be pulled. But that's really the only difference. And there's no sauce. There's sauce allowed on pork, but nothing else. You have to cook it into the meat. if that makes sense. So, and the chicken is the full jointed chicken. You have to have the wingtip in place or you're disqualified. So, and then when Jim was on, we were talking about the brisket. He was talking about the ends, the burnt ends, and we don't really do that here. It's just you cut it straight across, and it all has to be the width of like a pencil all the way across. They can't be bigger at the end, and that's kind of how we do with IBCA. That's the key right there. But anyway, so it's a little different, but it's not terribly different. I think that they do pork spare ribs just that way. Every person there is cooking the exact same thing. But it's hard to tell the difference sometimes, too. If you don't really know what to look for between bay backs and pork and spare ribs, I mean, you could easily just get bay backs and not know that that's what you just got turned in. You know, I mean, if you're not paying attention to what you're doing. So tell me how you came up with your name, Big Papa.
It's that's a cool little story. When we were in Lynchburg for the Jack, I grew up about 40 miles from there. And where I grew up at was on a little farm. My grandfather was called Papa. His daddy was called Papa. My dad was called Pop. And then my kids named me Big Papa. And all the kids wrestled and kind of followed the wrestling program. And every kid on the wrestling team called me Big Papa. And it just kind of stuck. And that's been for years. Where I grew up on the farm there, my grandmother had a little building out back that we built. When I was a kid, I helped build it. We set poles. Over the years, we enclosed it. When I was a teenager, we enclosed one in and made her what was called the country kitchen. It had the old stove. It had all what she would do in the wintertime. She would put all her seeds and all her plantings and everything in the country kitchen. And I lived in it, had a big feather bed, and I kept a fire going during the wintertime to keep everything warm so nothing froze. So my job was to split wood. All us kids growing up, split wood, kept her in firewood, and I kept the fire going in there. If I wasn't there, somebody else did. And she would do a lot of canning and cooking and all kinds of stuff down in the old country kitchen. So when she passed away, and I started a barbecue team, Big Papa's Country Kitchen just kind of really fit. And it's done us well. It's got a lot of family tradition behind it, and we're kind of proud of the name. It's got a cool history.
Yeah, that's really neat. That is a cool history. I love stories like that. It's just kind of where you came from and what you do. so that's really neat.
We just built a brand new trailer, and I saved one spot on it that we had it wrapped. It's really nice. Terry McKay with Gitter Smoked, he's another team I didn't mention that can win anytime he shows up. Terry's got a graphics company that wraps trailers, and he's done probably over 100 barbecue guys' trailers. He does boats and everything. But we took some pictures while we were back in Tennessee. We came to the old home place and took some pictures of the old country kitchen. It's actually in pretty rough shape, but it's still, we're going to have that on the side of the trailer, the old country kitchen, what it looks like today. In fact, if you go to my website, bigpapascountrykitchen.com, there's a picture of the old country kitchen on there now. We're going to post a few pictures of the old home place. My grandmother's house was a log cabin that was built in the 1850s. And when her and my grandfather were going to get married in the early 1900s, her dad gave them that place and gave them that house. They had to actually chase the cows out and, you know, turn it into a home. And the home's still sitting there today. It's kind of fascinating. It's got some really cool history, all the remodels they did on it and added onto the upstairs. And it's still just this quaint little old country home that if you knew the history behind it, and you walk in the front door and the jamb of the door is 12 inches thick because it's built around a log cabin. And you know, it's sheetrocked on the inside and all, and it had a little upstairs with feather beds, and they didn't have air conditioning. They just had a big fan that, you know, sucked air through all the windows, and, man, it was a really cool way of life, and I'm kind of proud.
Yeah,
of, you know,
I so wish that I would have lived back then. It was so much easier. I mean, it was harder, but it was easier. You know, things didn't, materialistic things didn't matter back then. It was just surviving was all that mattered.
My kids laugh at me because I tell them, we had a community center called Fairview Community Center. It's probably, to drive it, it's probably 8-9 miles, maybe 10 miles. When we were kids, we walked it. And that's where we went and played ball at. And, you know, we were little teenagers, 12, 13 years old. Then we got bicycles and we rode on bicycles. Then somebody got a driver's license and would pick everybody up to go there to play ball. And, you know, we used to run through pastures and stop and fish in ponds and pretty cool way of life that, you know, you go there now and they've kept the community center up all these years. And I go there and, you know, took my kids there a long time ago and, you know, want to take my grandkids there and tell them the stories about, you know, hitting a home run over the fence and had to go wrestle the pigs to get the ball back because there was a pig pen on the other side of left field. Just, you know, really cool old country stuff.
That is cool. Who lives there now? Do you know?
My
is it still
aunt
in the
owns
family?
It. Yeah, it's just vacant. My aunt owns it. My cousin lives right across the road from it. It was a 100-acre farm. And my dad got half of it when my grandmother passed away, and my aunt got half of it. And my aunt and my dad feuded, and my dad ended up selling his off. Some of the cousins ended up buying some of it, and it's still mostly all in the family. But the house has been vacant since they passed away, and my one nephew says he's going to get it and fix it back up, and somebody needs to go in there and make a historical marker out of it. My grandmother used to hang the United States flag on all weekends, all occasions, any reason. She actually got an award from the county, and I have the award hanging here on my wall from her being so consistent at hanging the U.S. They gave her an award for it, and I happen to have that, and I think it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say so, too. That's how my great-grandma was. She died when she was 103, and you know, everybody wanted her house, but it's in the middle of nowhere, and it wasn't accessible for anybody to move there and actually be able to live. You know, I mean, it's out in the middle of nowhere, and nobody had a job around there, so it's a little house, but they built it from, you know, the ground up, just them two, and it means more when they do it that way. You know, people nowadays buy a house and sell it 10 years later and buy another house and sell it, and you know, back then you didn't do that. You stayed in the same place because it's all you had. So, anyways, I think that's really neat. So after you get done in Nevada, where are you heading after that? Are you going to be able to stay home for a while?
Yeah, we're staying home through the rest of the year. We have some contests. We have a lot of catering. We run a catering business, and we've got a lot of stuff coming up between now and Christmas.
So is that your main job, is catering?
I'm a general contractor, and I still do some little stuff. I used to be pretty good size. We built some big homes and big buildings, and now all we do is easy stuff. I'm getting too old to run like we did when we were younger. But I still do some small remodels and Mr. Fix-It stuff, and we do farmers markets and sell barbecue at some churches, and hopefully when the food truck thing gets rolling, we're going to chase that for a little while and see which way it goes. There's this coast in Florida only has one other food truck down here. The county was really hard on letting people get licenses, and the big restaurants, there's so many restaurants in this town, they didn't want to see food trucks on the side of the road. So they've all fought hard against it. But anybody that knows my wife, Janet, if somebody tells her no, that just inspires her to work harder. And she's already got all our licenses and everything we could possibly need, and we're ready to rock and roll. She doesn't take no for an answer.
That's good. She sounds very determined. That's what you need. That's funny because I'm on my I do my show off of my iPad, and it just came across and said, breaking news, Channel 11, Lubbock County is going to allow food trucks. And I'm sitting here Googling going, that's weird. That's what I'm talking about.
Cool?
So you might have a career in Lubbock. You could move down here. Because apparently we didn't have them before. I didn't know that, but maybe all the ones that I've always seen are just illegal, I guess. I'm not sure how that works. But, well, I wish you the best of luck. for sure. So if somebody wants to, speaking of your class, how much is your class to take?
The professional class, we have on schedule in January. It's $500 for a head cook, and I want to say it's $200 for an additional team member. I'd have to look at my website and see. My wife handles all that part of it. But we usually get about 20. We try to get about 20, 15 to 20. We don't need 30 or 40 because it gets too crowded. We actually cook. We do a whole contest. And from, you know, purchasing meat to prepping meat, and we go through several different things that have won for me before. If you're in my shop, I have a 40 by 80 shop where we do the class. I have 500 trophies and banners hanging in the shop. So when people walk in, they're kind of impressed with, yeah, this guy has won. Maybe I need to listen to what he's talking about. What we do is simple. It's nothing's real difficult other than taking the time to do everything right. We prep it right. We season it right. We go over all the reasons why you do things at certain times that have worked for me. I try to teach everybody, don't try to copy everything I do. Take what you learn here, add it to what you know already, because you're already a good cook. You cook competitions. You know your cookers. You know what you got. And another thing we do is I cook on four or five different kind of cookers. We do them, and we cook on stick burners. We cook on stumps. We cook on fast eddies and jambos, and I've got Metal Creek cookers. So we cook on all the different styles. So if anybody's here and says, well, I cook on a stick burner, you cook on, well, we cook on them all. And then we actually have, I started this, a few people have copied it. I bring six certified judges in, and we have six certified judges sitting at a table. We all build chicken boxes, and each team, whoever wants to come up and watch and help and do, we build boxes, and we actually bring them and turn them into a table captain, and everybody gets to watch exactly what really happens at a contest with turning the stuff into a judges, how it's handled, how it's presented in front of the judges, how they score it. And when we're all done doing one box and the judges score it the way they score it, everybody gets asked, well, why'd you give that a 7 or why'd you give that a 10? And it's very, that end of it, I think, helps people as much as anything else that we do. And the judges I have are master judges, and they all enjoy being a part of it. And it's truly a lot of fun. We actually have room here. I have a 40-foot RV that we can sleep 6, 7, 8 people in. Inside the shop, people can bring cots and sleep in the shop. You can go down the road and stay in the motel. We've got other trailers sitting outside. Some people bring their trailers, and it's a very informative class. We pass out timelines and schedules and things that I use that help me that you can incorporate into what you do. And we cover a lot of information. Well, Jim from Sweet Smoke Q had never won a contest, and he took my class, and now I can't hardly beat him.
Does that make you mad?
No, it makes me proud. He's like one of my boys.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so, too. That's a good answer. I would say so. I mean, you've got to be proud of your, you know, you kind of take them under your wing and show them what to do. And that was my next question, was have you ever had anybody that has done very well after they take your class? And you answered that question, so...
Yeah,
is there
we've
anybody
had several.
Else that's done it? Yeah, you have.
You don't take anybody's class down here anymore and go win the next week. That's very hard to do because you're going up against, like I say, the Sweet Smoke Qs and the Hot Wachulas and the Swamp Boys, and there's so many good teams down here that you face every week. But we had a team just a couple weeks ago. The team slipped in my mind. They won their first competition 2 weeks ago, and they took our class, and they also took Robes. And you can watch the teams. It's fun to watch when you. I'm a student of the scoring system. I'm a student of what goes on in our organization. I was president for a couple of years, and I'm really my whole. I guess one of my favorite things is to watch new teams come in, climb the ladder, and. You watch them, you know, 1 week they'll get a call on one thing. A few weeks later they get 2 calls. A few weeks later they get 3 calls. A few contests in a row they bomb something, and then all of a sudden they hit it. And to watch them and see them win, it's heartwarming too, because they develop a passion. You don't put all this time and effort in to this sport and this hobby, and, you know, it's expensive. And the guys that put the time and effort into it and really work hard at it, it's good to see them win so that, you know, they know their efforts were worth it. And
Right.
And I get into helping new teams. That's my big thing. I've been helping new teams ever since we started this thing. And we just.
Well, and that's good because there's a lot of cooks out there. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of cooks out there who try to keep their stuff secret and not tell them what to do, you know, and because they want to win it all. But there's people like you who will say, no, here, you know, I'll help you and I'll show you and guide you. And that means a lot. We actually have another caller. It's Lance Moore, and that's what he does. I'm going to cue him in real quick and see what he wants to say. Lance, are you there?
I'm here. I've been listening. Hey, Dana.
Lance, how are you, buddy? I miss you, man. Come to Florida.
I'm kind of ready. It's kind of gotten cool up here.
When your teeth start chattering, come see me because it'll only be like 68 or 70. You won't need your long sleeves here.
Well, I'm ready. You got any flies down there?
Yeah, we do.
Man.
God, they're awful here. I wish it would freeze and cool them all off real quick because they're bad. But did you see that on
the...
Go ahead. Sorry, Dana.
We have some in the summertime, but this time of year, they're gone. All we have is like in the morning when you get up, you don't know if you should put, you know, a long sleeve shirt on or just a short sleeve shirt. That's a decision you got to make. You know, is it is it 68 or is it 72?
Oh man!
So, Lance, did you see that breaking news come across a while ago? That they're allowing food trucks now.
Oh yeah, I've been kind of following that. I knew that. I kind of figured that was going to pass down there, so I think that's a step in the right direction. I think it's a long time coming for this part of the country.
Right. So are you going to get you one and start serving some food?
Well, I mean, I already have one, technically. I mean, most of them guys have trailers anyways. You know.
Right.
So I don't know that I'm going to mix it up with Lubbock or not. I might come down there some. I don't know.
I wish you would.
Well, that's what you got to do. The food truck face-off is going to have a second season. And you just need to sign up and go win it and get you a food truck.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
I'm still planning maybe after the first year. That's what I'm doing full time. So, I mean, it's been growing leaps and bounds this year, and this fall has really, really gotten busy. I don't know. But that's kind of the direction I'm headed.
Well, I'm trying to convince him to come to Breastfest. What do you think? You think he should come, or do you not want that stiff of competition here, Lance?
Sure. I'm all for it.
Hey, I enjoyed having Lance for a neighbor. We had a good time.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
I think the after party is kind of epic around here. It's been talked about quite a bit.
Have you won any contests? Had to buy pizza since we saw you?
No, you know, I hadn't. You know, I've only cooked, I guess, twice since then. And, we cooked an IBFA, and I don't think what else we, or maybe it, I guess maybe, no, I've only cooked an IBFA invitation on that, and that's been it. I've been so daggum busy selling barbecue that I hadn't had time to go compete, and so it's kind of over for, it's kind of, in our area, it's kind of over with this time of the year. I mean, they'll still do some way down south, but, you know, it's 400 or 500 miles, you know, one way to go down to compete. And so I'm going to sit around and cook a little barbecue, do the holiday stuff, and, you know, cook turkeys and all that stuff for everybody. And then I'm going to sit here and kind of practice some new recipes and play with some things and, you know, get ready for next year.
Well, you know, I told you, anytime you want to fly down to Florida, I'll set you up with any kind of cooker you need and come cook next to me, and we'll do it Florida style.
Huh? I'm ready to take you up on that. You just never know.
My husband is leaving Sunday and is going to Florida for work. And he'll be there for almost a week because he's going to miss my birthday next week going to Florida. Yeah. He better send some good flowers or something, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
If he's going to miss it, he better make it up to me somehow. But I was going to ask you something, just slipped my mind. But, yeah, we're slow around here for a while, and then we pick back up. When does it pick up again, Lance, like in February, March?
March usually is kind of March usually it starts kind of breaking and starts coming up a little bit. And, you know, so, you know, and then I guess April, it really kind of, you know, it kind of gets some pretty full swing April, May, June. And then July kind of slows down again. And then Jennifer's breastfed, it starts back up, you know, the first week of August. And then, you know, it's pretty
second
hard.
Weekend. Yeah,
second weekend of August. And then we're pretty hard at it until, you know, generally about the 1st of November. And so.
We need to have people do some more contests around here so that we'll have something to do during the wintertime. It's just cold and we get lazy and don't do anything.
Then come to Florida and hang out with me.
Right?
I may have to take you up on that, man. And same thing here, buddy. I mean, if you get the desire to come over here, I mean, I've got another pet. I mean, we can pick you up. Yeah.
Jennifer, send me the information on your contest. I have no idea where it fits on my schedule. I have to run it by my wife. But if there was some way we could fly out there and Lance could hook me up with a cooker, we'd love to come out there and see you guys.
I guarantee we have fix up the cooker. What do you
have
cook on already? Assassins?
What's that?
What type of cooker do you cook on right now? Assassins or?
I've got a Fast Eddie and a BX50 that I had them up. I think that's what I had with me. It's a Metal Creek BX50.
Okay.
It's got a water pan in it, a water bottle on the side, and it's a really, really interesting cooker. I've cooked that 6 or 7 times and had some really good success with it. And then I have a FE100, which
okay.
If anything screws up, that you can always rely on it. They work pretty good.
Okay.
I've thrown an FE100 in the back of my pickup truck and pulled into a contest 5 minutes worth of cooks meeting and won grand championship.
those are the nice ones when you finish the last minute deal and you show up and you do well.
Yeah, have no expectations whatsoever, and all of a sudden they start calling your name, and man, that makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Those make up for the ones where you cook the best you ever cooked and don't get a call.
Yeah, you're sitting there going, geez, what's wrong with you people? Didn't y'all get the memo? This is my good food. Yeah,
Dana, do you do cooking for Thanksgiving? Like, do you cook people's turkeys and hams and stuff like that?
Yeah, we don't get an overabundance of orders for it, but we do several. A couple years ago, we did a ton. Last year, we did just a few. It depends on if we've got time to advertise it and let everybody know we're doing it. A lot of times we're only home for a couple of days around that time and don't have time to really set everybody up. We have a special recipe on hams that has been, when we had the restaurant in Daytona, we cooked a ton. I couldn't keep up with how many. And we have a special glaze that we make that puts it over the top. It just makes it really good.
Lance, are you taking orders this year?
Yep, I've matter of fact, I've already booked 4 Christmas parties, and I don't know, I've got a half a dozen better turkeys and hams already people are ordering, and so, you know, everybody usually waits, you know, kind of the last week or so I'm sure it'll get a little busier every day, and so I don't know how many we're going to end up doing this year. So,
John cooks his in a trash can.
What?
It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life, but he puts it on a steak, puts the turkey on a steak in the backyard, and then he puts a trash can, or puts a can of water in there with it, and he puts the trash can, he turns it upside down, and then puts coals around it and lights it on fire, and it just sits there and cooks for a couple hours, and it's done. It's very good. I don't know where he came up with that concept, but he did. And it worked out good for him.
Yeah, looks kind of work, you know.
We used to do that same thing back when we was poor and couldn't afford a cooker.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, we have a cooker, and he still does it that way.
There's a cooker out there called an Orion. Are you familiar with the Orion?
I've heard of them.
It's the trash can concept. It's got a base that you has a round base around it that you fill full of charcoal. You set your turkey or whatever you're cooking down inside, then the lid goes on it, and charcoal goes on the top. And it gets really hot inside, cooks really fast, kind of like the trash can turkey thing. And they're inexpensive, and they're a great little cooker. I cooked the contest with 4 Orions and 1 Grand Champion one weekend.
Are they silver?
Yes. They're stainless steel.
I'll say, I've seen them before. I've never been up real close to them to see all the intricate part of it, but I've seen those. They're kind of squatty and fatter, aren't they?
Yeah, some of them. They got one that's the rib cooker, and it's a little taller. Then they got the turkey cooker that's a little shorter. But go on their website and check them out, because they're $149, and man, you can cook 6 slabs of ribs at one time. You can cook a turkey in, you know, hour and 15 minutes.
Wow.
And they're delicious. It's got a water pan in it. You can put apple juice, beer, whatever you want in the bottom. You can put wood chips around the thing on the inside. And it's the only cooker I know that it's okay to use match-like charcoal.
That's
crazy. How did those Alaska boys like your barbecue, Lance?
I think they kind of liked that. They bought everything I had. Well, I gave them one little sample of brisket, and next thing I know, I was out of everything. So, I don't know, it was kind of a crazy deal. I mean, I was a little skeptical when that guy called and, you know, told me he was working in Lubbock for a month and you know, found me on the internet and wanted to buy some barbecue. I thought, okay, well, we'll see. So, I cooked 3 racks of baby backs and a brisket, and it was all gone. So
that's good.
They showed up. It was him and a guy from Virginia. They were they're pilots, and they he brings in smoke jumpers and hot stuff and stuff, and does like a tactical aerial support up in Alaska during most of the year. And then they're down here right now. They're doing something for NOAA. They're doing some flying research for NOAA. And so that's what they're doing down here right now. And I was like, man. So it was kind of a neat deal, you know.
Yeah, that is neat.
I guess it worth getting out. I was like, you know, you guys had to drive, you know, it's 50 miles. I'm 50 miles north of Lubbock. And there's several barbecue joints in Lubbock. And I thought, you know, that's kind of funny that, you know, my site got picked out of everybody, so this kind of goes to the show, I guess. I don't know. It was kind of a strange deal.
Yeah,
they're real nice guys, and they showed up and do what?
The barbecue joints in Lubbock, though, aren't very good. I mean, I've gone to several of them, and they're just not. I guess I'm spoiled because I've had some of the best, but I've gone to a few of them, and there's one of them that is outrageously expensive, and you get very, very small amount of food, you know, and then there's others that the ribs I just kind of spit out because they weren't even good at all. The brisket was okay, but the ribs weren't very good. So there's not a whole lot I mean, yeah, I would pick you, too, because your food's delicious, and, you know how my son feels about your beans. So, you just can't, you know. I'm happy.
Well,
for you.
I mean, you know, but you know, when you're looking at something on the internet, you know, of course, I am. You know, my website was, you know, more of a competition website. I mean, I've got catering and stuff on it, but you know, it was just funny that that's what popped up, and you know, because I mean, you know, they've got chain restaurants down there that are barbecue and you know, things like that, and it's just funny that, you know, I just found it interesting that, you know, I won out of all of that down there. I mean, without, you know, no one tasting anything, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I imagine I thought it was kind of a crazy deal. You know, they pulled up my driveway, and I've got my trailer here, and you know, they're buying barbecue. So.
There you go. A little extra money. Never hurt nobody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's good, and, you know, and I'm glad to see something like that, you know. Someone Google something out of Lubbock, you know, out of a big, you know, a big city that, you know, my little bit of web knowledge and what I do and stuff, because, I mean, I do my own website and all of that, but, you know, I won out on that deal.
There you go. So, Dana, do you do classes just in Florida, or do you travel with your classes?
I plan to travel. I'm working on doing one in Michigan in the spring. I know a lot of the guys up in Michigan. I lived up there for a long time, but I would love to come out to Texas and do one or someplace. And you know, all we got to do is get some people that want to sign up for it, and I'd love to come out and do one.
How many people do you normally take, Dana?
15 to 20.
15 to 20?
Okay. Yeah.
And your class
15,
is what, 700? 15
is a good-sized class.
What do you charge for your class?
500.
500? Okay.
Yeah, and 200 for, you know, a team member or wife, or and yeah, if there's extra people, we work something out, which I'd be fair to everybody. But we put a lot out on the table. You can ask anybody that's took my class. Ask Jim Elser if he recommends my class, because he took it and loved it and has done well. And there's several other guys out there too.
Yeah, I've heard nothing good about your classes. And, you know,
and we have fun doing it. I have a blast doing it, and I make sure everybody has fun. And what we do with the judging thing is really cool. And but if we need to talk about putting one together out in Texas, man, I'd love to come out. I'd give anything to come out and see you, Lance, and have a cocktail and eat some
yeah.
of your barbecue.
Yeah.
Well, you're the third one that's been on my show out of Florida. And, I mean, seriously, I don't know what it is, but these past 3 weeks I had Jim, and then I had Rev, and then now you, and all three of y'all had said the same thing. I want to do a class in Texas. Maybe we just need to work something out where all the Florida boys come down here and do one big football or something.
Hey,
just have a Florida day in Texas.
Well, you know, and what I was going to say is it may work out at some point that, you know, that – because I think that the Lee County deal that, you know, we all cooked at, I think that they're going to keep that a Florida, an FBA contest, you know, might work out something to where, you know, maybe the, you know, that week or something, have a class or something, or, you know, weekend before, and do something like that.
Well, I've been talking,
you know,
about doing that for breakfast. Hello? That's what I want to do. I want to have a cooking class for breakfast. You know, I don't know. I don't know what we do, though, but Jim mentioned something the other day about doing it, and he said, why don't you do, instead of, like, Dana coming in and doing a full class, one person does one thing, and they kind of get to travel around and go to different teams. And, you know, each team picked, you know, like, say Dana wanted to do chicken, and Jim wanted to do brisket, and Rub wanted to do ribs, or, and you wanted to do, you know, whatever you wanted to do, then we could do something like that. That would be
fun. I mean, we could do something like that, too. I mean, you know, that's, I mean, I'm fixing to go to a class next weekend, and, you know, that's, I'm all for doing some of these classes and stuff. You know, you get to that point that, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's gotten so competitive the last, like what you were saying, Dave. I mean, you know, last 3-4 years, it has gotten super, super competitive. And, you know, it's like you have to, like, just stay on it all the time now. And, you know, it's kind of amazing, even here in Texas, you know, how things are changing.
Who's class are you taking?
I'm taking Jeff Weiss, Redneck Cookers. down south.
Huh. You went to Ernest Cervantes, didn't you? And Andrews?
No, well, I wanted to, but, you know, Ernest wasn't real keen on me being in the class and having to compete against him that weekend.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
He was like, man, I ain't going to show anything here when you're here. And I'm like, I knew it. So, but, I mean, that's fine. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny about some of that stuff sometimes. Ernest and I have a good time. But, so, but that's where, like, Matt Alexander, you know, that's where he took that class. And, you know, he did pretty well. Yeah, his sister was like fourth overall.
Exactly. Yeah, his sister started kicking his ass. I think that's funny.
Yeah, she's sounding pretty tough. That's what I told Matt that day. I said, hey, you like Kat? He said, man. He said, I'm fixing to just start letting her cook. And he said, I'll just hang out and be the grunt.
Yeah. Well, she's got Kathy Stone's old cooker. Her dad found it for her and bought it for her.
Oh, who's that? I didn't know whose it was. I seen it, but I didn't realize it was Sophie's.
Mhm. I don't know how I didn't get detected, but it did.
Yeah. It was built here in Texas. So, how many contests you got left this year, Dana?
We got Vegas next week. We come home. We got one in Jacksonville. The Jacksonville contest is a lot of fun. It's at a RV park, and all the people that live in the RV park get involved and come watch, and it's pretty neat. And we have a little side contest we do called Big Papa's Battle at Barbecue Junction. And I bring several cookers, and we set it up like a chop throwdown deal. And we're doing it at the Jacksonville contest. We got two teams at 3 o'clock on Friday. They show up. They have a green egg, a Dutch oven, a PG500, and whatever else I happen to bring. And the other team has the exact same cookers, and they both get matching coolers full of mystery food. They have no idea what they get. And they got 45 minutes to create a appetizer, side dish, main dish, and dessert. And we have celebrity judges, and whoever wins the 3 o'clock, then there's another one at 6 o'clock, and then at 2:30, as soon as brisket's turned in, we have a championship between the two. And we did, Daryl filmed them all for us last year. I think we did 10 or 12 of them last year. We've only done a few this year. I haven't had time to really pursue it and do like I wanted to do it. But it's a lot of fun. It's a little twist to the contest. Gives the public something to come watch. Other than just, you know, guys cooking on their cookers. And we have a contest in Venice where we do the same thing, and it draws a big crowd. And it's a lot of fun, something different to add to a contest. And then we've got two or three more towards the end of the year. Right now, I don't even want to. If it wasn't for Janet, I wouldn't have a clue where I'm supposed to show up.
You just get your orders and relax, we're gone.
Do you just pick random people off the street to do that, or do they have to sign up to do that?
Usually we have teams that cook against each other, and then we usually have the organizer try to get the mayor or the judge or the newspaper guy or the radio guy. Radio and TV personalities work out well because you get to see TV time or advertising to talk about it. And we try to draw people in on a Friday night. That's, you know, the 6 o'clock event can draw a lot of people, and they have fun because they get to stand there and watch what these guys are doing. And we kind of keep the entertainment. You're allowed one free phone call. You can call somebody for some advice. And usually one of the teams calls the other team that he's cooking against to see if they can't steal some advice out of them. And it's a lot of fun.
That would be fun.
If you get a chance, go to Daryl's. Daryl's got it. It's called Battle at Barbecue Junction. There's about 14 of them
on
YouTube.
Yeah, I've seen those.
But I think it would be fun just to pull, like, have a whole bunch of people sign up, but then just pick somebody random and just say, here, somebody that doesn't necessarily cook, you know? I mean, just a random person off the street. I think that'd be cool just to see what they could come
it's
up
a,
with.
It's
you
a cool concept. You can do pretty much anything with it you want. At the Venice contest last year, we had a chef from one high-dollar restaurant in town and a chef from another restaurant in town, and they were supposed to compete against two barbecue teams, but we got rained out on Friday night. So what we did was we put one barbecue team with a team of chefs against another barbecue team and a team of chefs, and oh, my God, did it turn out to be a lot of fun. The barbecue guys were involved because they showed them how a green egg works, and one of the guys won Top Chef. He's been on TV a bunch of times, and he was one of them that competed with us, and it was a riot. There was some real competitive spirit between the two restaurants.
So do you charge them to enter it, or do they just
no,
do it for
it's
fun?
Free to enter, and we get somebody to donate, you know, there's $300-$500 cash prize and a banner, and we try to get sponsors to cover everything so it doesn't cost the organizer anything. The organizer's smart. He puts it out, gets a lot of people involved and get some money to back it so he doesn't have to pay anything out of his pocket. And I charge a fee to come set it up and run the whole thing, but it's reasonable. All it does is cover my diesel fuel and my pellets, and, you know, we get a grocery sponsor to pay for the groceries. And it's and you get a chance, go to Daryl's YouTube sites, and there's some dandies on there. Some of them are long-winded because he did a whole lot of filming on it, but if you get down just to the competitive part you know, the finals and how it all works out and the judging, it's pretty cool.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm going to have to go watch that for sure because that sounds like something I would want to do. I just don't know how to get enough cooking equipment. There you go. You can see this. But we actually gave away a big green egg at our contest last year. We sold raffle tickets for it. And the guy that won it, we were at a contest in a little bitty town called Littlefield, and there was, what, like 10 teams there, Lance?
Yeah, 15, 16, something like that.
Well, it qualified, so it was, I think, 15. But my daughter was, I said, here, go sell these tickets for me. And she walked around with another little girl, and they sold these tickets, and this guy bought one ticket. And it was his first contest ever. He got reserve grand champion that weekend, and then when we drew the names at Breastfest, he won that green egg. So it was pretty funny. It was a neat deal.
Well, I have a reputation. I have a reputation down here as the luckiest guy alive. I've been to 3 or 4 contests where they've given away green eggs or raffles, and I've won them all.
Oh, wow.
We just had a raffle.
We just had
a raffle for a Yeti cooler a couple weeks ago in a contest, and I won that. I don't know. Sometimes I get lucky. It's so fun. We were at a contest, and we had 3 or 4 of the gals. That one of them's a cook team. One of them's a wife of a cook team. One of the gals was one of the organizers. And they're all standing with the green egg guy, and they're all buying tickets. And I told them all to not waste their money because I was buying one ticket, and I was winning the green egg. At the drawing the next day, they're all sitting around me laughing, saying there's no way I was going to win, and the organizer says, I can't believe it, Big Papa won the green egg. I had took a little trailer and my pickup truck. I had no room in the trailer to put it, so we took it apart, and we seatbelted it into the front seat of the truck.
There you go.
So
did you
take
a picture of that? Because that's epic.
Yeah, I came through the inspection station, and the guy says, are you one of the barbecue guys? And I said, yeah, how'd you know? And he says, not many people carry one in their front seat. And I guess a little while later, Jim Elster comes through, and he says, are you a barbecue guy? And he said, yes, sir, I am. And he said, well, some guy just went through with a green egg in his front seat, and Jim just died laughing.
Oh, man, that is good.
Yeah, that'd be a good picture. I would probably have that as my profile picture if I was you. It's kind of like, you know, there are certain places, I don't know where they're at, but where you have to have a passenger to drive in a certain lane. We don't have those here, but.
Oh, yeah, HOA.
Yeah, and that'd be funny. Go through there with a big green egg. I've got a passenger, I swear. It's important. It's worth $1,000. Hey, I have a Yeti cooler, and they're amazing. They are fabulous. I love mine. It's my, it goes everywhere with me when I go places like that. took off or whatever. It keeps everything cold, cold, cold. We went to our ranch one weekend. We came back on a Sunday and still had beer in there with ice and everything. And I just sat in the garage and came out on a Thursday. And it was the dead of summer, so it was hotter than hell. And I came out on the Thursday and I wanted a beer. And I opened it up and there's still ice cold. And I'm like, oh, you just can't get better than that. So there's a guy that comes to a bunch of competitions around here. His name is Donnie Hill. And the last time I saw him at a competition, I count every time I see him because I call him the Getty guy. And I think he had 11 at the last competition I went to of all different sizes. And I'm just like, dear Jesus. You know how much money you have just to see coolers? But anyway, so I'm going to get off here, boys. Y'all can, Dana, you can go first and thank all your sponsors and tell everybody how to find you if they are listening and want some of your rub and your good stuff.
I have. I'm lucky enough. I got some great sponsors that, you know, help out with rubs. I have a sponsor that everybody needs to know about. It's called EnviroGuard 64. He's out of Las Vegas, Nevada. He sells a product that's becoming very popular. It's a cleaning product that's not so much a cleaner like a degreaser or a bleach. You can wipe your tables off and you spray it with this, and it kills 100% of all bacteria, germs, and once you get used to using it, it's one of the best products out there. It keeps everything clean. He actually cooked with me in Laughlin and washed my dishes and sprayed everything, and my knives are clean and disinfected. It's a product that's awesome for barbecue teams because you wipe your table down inside from where you've been prepping chicken or whatever. You spray it down with this, and there's no chance of any contaminations whatsoever. Very safe product to use, nothing caustic, nothing bad. It's all good stuff. So it's called EnviroGuard 64. He has a website, EnviroGuard64.com, or look at on my website. It's a product everybody needs in their trailer. I'm not making any money off of him. I just think he's got a fantastic product. It's being sold to wrestling teams for disinfecting mats and weight guys for doing their bars and gyms and just a fantastic product for the food business. So, but EnviroGuard 64.
I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, Jim is sweet smoker. If you want any, I got samples. I'll send you some. He's actually sending stuff. You were talking about Alaska. He's going to Alaska next week to sell his product to Alaska Airlines. They're going to spray their airplanes with it so that when people get off the plane, they give it a quick coat. You spray it on in a fine mist. It dries in 30 seconds, and it kills every bug. It's just an amazing product. Jim with Sweet Smoke Q is one of my sponsors. I'm drawing a blank. I'm sitting here in the shop about half tired. We have a company out of West Colorado called Teltec Communications who, for some reason, decided they want to sponsor a barbecue team. We ship them banners, and we ship them food, and we ship them rubs and sauces, and they ship us a little money to help keep us rolling. I just got a brand-new sponsor, which is Sailor Jerry's. They start next week in Vegas, so if anybody's in Vegas, come see us. We're going to have some samples to give out. Our rubs, our sauces, anything about Big Papa's Country Kitchen is on our website, bigpapascountrykitchen.com. Anybody's ever got any questions about barbecue, call me, man. I'll talk barbecue 24/7. Lance, it was great meeting you out there. Hope to see you again soon. Can't wait till we get together and laugh our butts off again. Jennifer,
yes,
thanks
sir.
For having me on.
Thank
want to come
so
to Texas. I want to come
on.
To Lubbock. Send me the information on your contest. I've got to figure out how to get there.
Oh, yeah. I would love it. I would love it more than anything you do not know. You would win the farthest traveled. For sure. Mr. Nelson would be disappointed. you can't fly because that would have been Chris Chadwick this year because he's come the past 2 years. You have to bring your own stuff. But we'll still give you something special. I'm sure we can figure out something to do for you for coming because that would mean the world to us if you came. But
send me your information
on
your contest. I'd sure like to see if we could squeeze it in.
Oh, yeah, I will. I will absolutely do that. Lance, go ahead and thank you, sponsors.
Well, I'd like to thank Oak Ridge Barbecue, Mad Cow Cutlery,
Jim Meltzer, Sweet Smoke Q, Frontier Charcoal. That's just a couple of them tonight. I'd like to thank all those guys. And Jane and I did, man. I enjoyed it myself. I mean, we had a great time, and I enjoyed getting to hang with you that day. And we'll do that soon again. Promise you, whether we get together out here in Texas or we get down to Florida way and get down there and see you. And I want to wish you a lot of luck in Vegas coming up. I mean,
yeah.
That's a big deal there, buddy. And
absolutely.
Wish you all the luck
in the
world
on that.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's gonna be
feed
a good
them
time.
Some pink drinks before you get there or when you get there, and maybe they'll not know what they're doing the next day. Take lots of vodka and cranberry juice and pink lemonade. Oh, no, just lemonade. Regular lemonade, I'm sorry. And don't tell Jim I gave away the recipe on the show again. He'll get mad at me.
And don't let Jeff mix them all either.
Yeah, just don't use too much lemonade and cranberry. Be careful.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Oh,
okay, friends. Well, thank y'all for calling in. I really appreciate it. Another great show. This is Jennifer with Hot Off the Grill, and we're going to sign off with some All About That Bass again. We'll talk to y'all later.
See you.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass. Yeah, it's pretty clear, I ain't no side dude, but I can shake it, like I'm supposed to do. I got that boom boom that all the boys chase, in all the right junk, in all the right places. I see the magazine, working that Photoshop. We know that shit ain't real, come on now make it stop. If you got beauty, beauty, just raise them up. Every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me don't worry about size. She says boys like a little more booty to hold tonight. Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass. Hey, I'm bringing booty back. Go ahead and tell the skinny bitches that. No, I'm just playing. I know y'all think you're bad, but I'm here to tell you every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama. Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, because you know I'm all about that bass.